Triple M Rocks Saturday Arvo Footy. Triple M Rocks the Footy. For Harvey Norman Home Appliances.
We've got Trent Robinson, the Roosters coach, on the phone. We might go to Trent before we do anything else because he's a busy, busy man. Trent Robinson, welcome to the Saturday Sin Bin.
Hey, guys. How are you? Not as busy now. I wouldn't say I'm too busy.
I was going to say, mate, what are you actually doing? Just running things from home?
Yeah, so the end of the week was sort of built around staff designing how they were going to do their job and work around players on their own. So that was the last few days have been really busy for us, trying to get home gyms set up and programs set up and videos done so the boys can watch at home. So we did a lot of content in the last 2 days. So, that's been the last few days. But I think we know the RLPA put out something yesterday that we're on our own from Monday. So,
So, Trent, you're one of the coaches. I think you might have been the instigator of tactical periodization. Is that what it is?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
How do you, which was basically, in the old days, was basically training blocks where you do your base and you sharpen up and all the rest of it. But how do you actually plan for that now, given you don't know how long the players are down for? Like, I imagine that the training programs you're setting up for these players, it's a bit of a sort of poke in the dark, isn't it?
Well, a little bit. We've been given a few dates. So we set up the July 1, the September 1 dates. Obviously, okay. if we don't play at all, that's... that we'll get to that, but we set up a similar, I think it's a 9-week block that we can keep the same leading into the July 1 date and then the September 1 date. And then we've just, worked out how much rest they'll need, how much training they think they'll need based on, what we do, what they know our program sort of that we've been doing through the preseason. So we want to keep them moving. I think at the moment there needs to be a little bit of space because the uncertainty and setting yourself up at home, but then the consistency of boredom will set in and you need to have a routine. So really setting up that routine for the guys has been our focus the last few days.
Have players spoken to you about boredom and how they're going to get through it?
Yeah, a lot of them have. Like we've talked a lot. We saw them on Thursday, Friday, and some of them are looking for jobs. Some of them are going out. Some of them were on tools already.
Yeah.
Yeah, some of them were on the tools already Friday morning before they came in and saw us to pick up some gear. So, they're thinking about a few things. How do they set up their home for isolation? How do they combat the finances that they're going to lose, that they know they're going to lose? Mm. And then how do they stay focused on footy? They've been really good. None of them have said, look, I'm out. I don't really want to do it. They're saying, okay, come on, what do I need to do to keep going? So
what sort of jobs have they got?
Plumber, builder. There's lots of different jobs that have been thrown out there for the guys, and they're still continuing to sort of look for ones. They know they're going to have their time and they've got to train, but then after that they're... they're looking to get back into some of their old trades.
Victor Radley would be straight out on the tools, wouldn't he, Robbo? I think his old man's a trader in the eastern suburbs.
He'll be listening this afternoon. He's on the tools this afternoon, Rads. I saw him this morning, so he'll be on some apartment block today, I'd say.
Robbo, when every team comes back after the summer and they go into round one, there's very little, I don't know what the word is here, you might be able to help me with it, but very little variability between the top team and the bottom team as far as fitness. They're all sort of pretty close together because they all know there's a definite start date, there's a definite end point with your off-season training and a point you've got to get to as far as your fitness. But we've got such unknown territory here. I just wanted to ask you then, so when the competition comes back, do you think that variable between the best teams and the worst teams could be greater given that some teams may get it wrong, and because nobody knows what's right?
Yeah, I think that's where it comes down to how well have you educated your team, your individuals in your team, away from here. So when you get them in, they're all indoctrinated in a training style. Righty, I come in and I'll tell you what to do from 9 o'clock to 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and then go home. But It's more the hours around that. If they go home and they know how to eat well, they know how to train well, how to prep well, if they're in charge of themselves, then they're going to be the guys that are going to get the greatest benefit out of this time. If you've got the majority of your group that are like that, they'll perform well when they come back. If you've got a group that need their hand held each day they walk in, then they're going to suffer through this time. So I think that's what you're talking about. You're going to see that when they walk back in.
Because you'll see some guys that, as much as they've got the exercise bike and a few weights given to their home, they're going to come back and they're going to be carrying 3 or 4 extra kilos, aren't they? Around the game.
Yeah, they possibly could. It's, you know, what's in between the ears? Like, how much do you push yourself in these times? And how much do you value your career, which has been given a fair wake-up call in the last week about just how fragile it can be and how hard you have to work for it. So how's that going to sit with players? Are they going to take this as, I'm not going to work today, I'll do it tomorrow, which we all suffer? Or are they going to really push themselves through this period? And not, they've got to do other things as well. I'm talking about engaging with family and, you know, reading more, playing the guitar, whatever it is. But we're going to come out of this at some point. And if we come out of it on July 1 or September 1, you're going to have to hit the ground running. You're going to have to be ready to go, because some teams are going to do that well and jump you.
You're a guitar player, aren't you?
No, not me. No.
What's your little offside hobby?
Well, mine will be reading is what I really like to do. So, you know, spending time with the kids and reading will be. I went and got some books from work today because I don't know whether I'll get back in there in the near future. So, that'll occupy my time.
You got a good book for us at the moment, Robbo. What do you got your players reading?
I had the boys read, which is a pretty important book at this time, Man's Search for Meaning. If you want a book for this period of time and you think you're in trouble, then go back and read Viktor Frankl's account of his time during the Holocaust. That'll put some things into perspective and how to deal with it.
That's the, you figure out the, what is it, figure out the why, you'll figure out the how.
Yeah, if you know your why, you'll figure out any how. So it's a pretty simple way. It doesn't matter why are we... you know, why are we here and what do we put down on this earth for? Then how are we going to get through this? Well, it's pretty simple. And he did that. So you get a chance, read it.
You're an educated man, Robbo. What's your perspective and your viewpoint on just the state of current affairs around the world at the moment?
Yeah, I think we're a couple of weeks behind, which gives us a bit of help on... You know, there's some countries going through some stuff for the first time. So whatever we're going to go through, someone else has gone through it before us. And I think it gives us some good insight into what's happening in, you know, some extremes like Italy. But then more countries that are more alike ours in the procedures they've put in, whether it's been England, you know, I'm obviously close with France. So I think we know that we're going to go into shutdown pretty soon. You know, I drive through Centennial Park or around the beaches and there's thousands of people out. Because they want to get out in nature. What do you want to do at this point in time? You want to, where do you feel good? I'll get out in the sun, I'll get in nature. But there is so many people in our area out and about. So it's going to be soon. But then, you know, if we get on top of this as well, there are hard countries that are coming out of it that are having a, you know, a negative ratio on the exponential curve, which is what we need to do. We need to make sure we don't, we're not doubling or tripling the numbers. We need it to go into reverse. And, you know, I know South Korea are doing a good job on that. I know Singapore as well. So we can be about 4 weeks away from that if we do a good job.
I think the NRL this week received information that for the first time, New South Wales had had a negative growth, which is a positive sign.
Hours.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we had it Wednesday or Thursday and then we went just back over again. But I think the measures they've put in place, they're doing a really good job. We've just got to adhere to it. And so I think there'd be another measure on Monday and possibly mid next week. But we just need to adhere to it and get it under control so we can all get back to our normal lives.
What about, Robbo, have you got a viewpoint? The players are obviously all, like a lot of people around Australia at the moment, going to be deeply affected by this. They're in negotiations to try and figure out exactly how much of a pay cut they do take. But there's also been a lot of commentary around about how much money NRL headquarters has brought in, and questions are being asked about where that's all gone. Have you got a viewpoint on that? Or
yeah, I read Paul's article this morning just on that, and it's, I guess the way, I mean, I thought the good snapshot of Reggie and the game and the polarising effects of a billion-dollar business and the local fan, that's our sport. That's how we span across Australia. But the thing is there is some questions. Like, we whether you like it or not, Reggie would be having it. Like, I can imagine Peter is having it coming into the chairman's role. So there has to be some questions asked. It seems like they're not as transparent as they could be.
I can guarantee you they're not, Robbo.
Yeah, so, you know, the salary cap, people know. I don't need to know how much other people are earning and all of that, but there needs to be people outside the NRL that need to know those financial figures. You know, it's the salary cap audits us on what Tedesco earns. But it looks like the NRL haven't been audited well enough from their point of view by an external source just to say, hey, you probably haven't been as vigilant here as you could have been. And that's all we're asking. I don't need to know what the NRL's doing, but somebody does outside of that building.
Well, they carried on like Flash Harris. They carried on like people with new money. Suddenly you win the lottery and you just go berserk and you're spending money at, you know, on things you don't need. When the NRL Commission, the independent era began, and it was at the same time they got their first billion-dollar TV deal, suddenly it was limousines everywhere. And then when they got criticised for taking the limousines, they started getting hire cars and all this, which was just a change in terminology, to be honest. But they justified it by saying it reflected the prestige of the position and where the aspiration part that they, well, the aspirational value that they wanted the NRL to be, which is, look, we all know what the game is, Robbo. We know what we are. We don't need a limousine to make ourselves feel better.
Well, I think if we remember where that came from, that came from very much a banking industry and a big business point of view. Mm. That's how you run a big business. So let's run the rugby league like that. But underneath that, the Royal Commission showed that they didn't care about. It was about making profits and not about the individual banker that has their money in an account. And they got found out through the Royal Commission. But what we did was we tried to perpetuate that through the way that we ran the business, and we hired someone in to carry that on. But they forgot about Reggie the Rabbit, or they forgot about you know, the punter that walks through. We're not a big bank. Yeah. We're a homegrown sport that people go to and play on the weekends, and we include everybody. And it wasn't that way for a number of years. And we've got to get back to that.
Do you have faith that they will?
Yeah, I do. I don't, look, I've never even spoken to Peter Vlandis, you know, and I know he's copped in different ways this week. They've been really supportive.
Mm.
But I don't know him at all, but he feels like he's a bit of a fighter. And I feel like he's going to, like, coming from the industry he has come from and been in for a long time, he understands the punter. He understands the person that walks through the gate. And we're not dissimilar. I do have hope. I know our game, so I've definitely got hope in our game. I know the people involved. And I feel like we're going to get this is the biggest wake-up call we've had since Super League, and it's the reverse of what happened. Yeah. Money's not coming into our game. It's actually the opposite of Super League. But it is the biggest wake-up call about what's important and how we're going to run this game better.
Yeah.
So I feel, to be honest, I want to hold on during this period, and then I can't wait. I can't wait to see how the questions that get asked and the better game that we'll have going forward. Mm.
The one thing Super League did was it created a false economy in the game, which we've basically survived on for 25 years now, and it's taken this to actually make everybody realise that it was a false economy. The game continued to make losses even when they were getting their broadcast deals doubled. Clubs went from earning getting a $7 million grant under the old broadcast deal, making or losing $1 million in football expenses at the end of the year. Then they went to a $13 million grant, and they're still losing $1 million. And you so what practices are they putting in place with that money? Like, clearly it was wasted money.
Yeah, and look, you know the figures better than I do, but I thought your figure breakdown that you put in, I feel, you know, no matter how much we give the clubs, they haven't become wealthy entities. They've always had to put back in.
Yeah.
And so there's not, I don't think there's one area. You could write an article tomorrow and say this area needs to change. But I think what we're seeing is there's so many different areas that need to change. Like, it's not on...
Mm.
And it's just not on the just on the NRL.
No, it's clubs.
It is on clubs. Mm. It is on players, you know. And people keep saying our money's going to go down, and it might. And we've talked about this. It's more people are watching the game. More people. There's more interest. There's more pages in the paper. We just need to work out how do we maximise the eyeballs that are watching and get that through. And the world's changing. It's not just, you know, sadly, it's just not Nine and Fox at the moment. They're huge backers for us, but we need to find out how a 15-year-old's consuming the game and what he wants to buy and all that. And we'll probably have to sit through another TV deal to work that out.
Which will be fascinating when that happens.
Yeah, which it will be. I just don't want to have to do it at this time. I think if we hold on and do it in calmer times, we might be better off.
Robbo, it's been a great insight, mate. Good to catch up with you. All the best for the year.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Good on you, mate. There